Welcome to the Diary 101 podcast. I am your host, Aka Kandelo Kandepwe, also known as Aka. I am so excited because then I get to have one of my favorite girls on the podcast. And I didn't think I was going to be this excited then. We just from talking and I was just getting so excited. So this is one person, when I look back to my stay in America, one person who would always call me out when I sell myself short. One person who would always say, Aka, no, take the credit, take your flowers and move on. I don't think she remembers that. So, and because this is like the passport series, I'm going to talk about what the passport series is. So when we were in America, we were required to come up with the passport project. The passport project was a project where all the institutes and countries would create a page on a platform we all had access to and talk about all the cool things you'd want to see if you visited their country. So the passport series on the Diary 101 is a series where I'll be collecting stories from my favorite girls around the world. And these are cool stories. And I'm so thankful and grateful that the first episode for the passport series is with one of my favorite girls. Again, I don't think she knows that, but she is the girl we all want to do, and she's the girl we all love. And yeah, so with that being said, I'd like to introduce Bella Woods, also known as Mrs. Woods, to me personally. So hi, Bella.
Hello, how's it going?
Good, how's it going?
It's going great.
I'd like to say, so before you were just Mrs. Woods to me, but now you're Mrs. Vice President. How does that feel?
It's interesting. We're getting used to it. For those who are not connected to me in any way, I was recently elected as Vice President of the student body at my university in Kansas, USA. So
yay!
A really fun adventure. We are getting rolling, getting the transition materials ready to officially be in office, but it's an exciting adventure.
You know, I was once vice president and I don't think I was this excited. I'm more excited because you're vice president and I'm just going to brag for the rest of my life. I have a friend. I always tell you this. Say, I have a friend in America. She's Bella Woods. She's vice president. Like, that's my highlight. And I don't, like, do you remember some of the conversations we had in the United States? Or some of the things we talked about, like, concerning the two of us?
Not going to lie, we had those conversations pretty late sometimes. And I've slept a little bit since then. But I'm always happy to talk with you. So
one of my favorite conversation with you is when somebody was telling me that, oh, Aka, you're always saying hi to everybody. And we're all in the sitting area. And I was like, well, when I was growing up, I just liked, my grandfather always used to greet all of us. So it's like, I'm used to, doesn't matter how I feel about my life, I'm going to greet somebody. And I don't know what went on. And you're like, stop selling yourself short, Aka. Like, you're like, stop, Aka. Stop. You're not going to sell yourself short. Because I was giving somebody credit for something I do. And to be honest, every single time I try to sell myself short, I'm like, Bella would be pissed.
Correct. I would. You shouldn't sell yourself short.
That's the amount of impact you've had in my life. So I'd like to know, like, if you'd pick one moment with us in the United States, which one would it be?
I really liked going up in the St. Louis Arch with you. It was a fear of yours that you were able to conquer, and I'm very proud of you for that. The elevator was very small, and then there was this moment of realization where you were like, oh my goodness, But you did it, and you did it, and it was fun, and we got pictures, and there was lots of laughter. I think that was probably one of my favorite moments with you over the summer. It wasn't necessarily a revelation of sorts, like we weren't in one of those conversations, but it was a really fun memory.
Yeah, I changed my mind. I was like, I don't care how much we paid. I'm so African. Yeah, that was like, you calmed me down. I'm so grateful for that. With the girls, what's your favorite? So backstory, Bella and I were in the same institute, which is a study of the U.S. Institute, Madeleine Albright, Young Leaders stuff. Like, it's so long for me to remember. And we're at the same institute, which is the University of Kansas. So it's just a backstory. And back to my question, what was your favorite highlight with the girls?
I so loved getting to play games with you guys. I know that's a very cliche answer for me, since I was the one that brought most of the games, and I enjoy playing games with all kinds of people. But seeing you all connect in this thing that has been a really good thing, a really good connector, a really good relationship builder, and something that in some ways is very personal to me, it was so amazing, because at first people were a little bit timid. They weren't so sure about it. The rules can be really confusing. And then by the end of it, you guys were going at each other's throats, because you guys were so into it and so involved. But then everyone was like, yes, we should play more. Oh, we should play more. This is going to be our last time playing together. We should do it. And so those are probably some of my favorite moments. Always the laughter. Laughter and humor are a huge thing for me. They're a value that I hold very tight. And so getting to share that with you all night after night or week after week, even in the times where we were all kind of upset with each other or we were really missing home, those were opportunities and times that I still remember with a lot of fondness as I look back.
I don't want to interrupt this moment. When did you realize that you can use games to build relationships and connections? Because that's what it did for me. My highlight was, if Bella wasn't there, were we ever going to be that connected? We might, but not to the depth that we are connected and we have our monthly debrief as our community and everybody can jump in. So when did you realize that games have such an impact on people?
So I cannot take full responsibility for that. I have been fortunate to grow up with a lot of opportunities to explore leadership in different ways. And icebreakers or connection points are those kinds of short games that allow you to realize where you overlap and where you share interests or values, or connections with people. So those have always been something that I've done in a new group, or at least most oftentimes do in a new group. But then also, my boyfriend of 2 years, he and his family are avid gamers. And so that is how we met, and that is how we connected. We were both going for an audition for a show at our university, and we had 40 or so minutes before it actually began, but it wasn't a long enough time for us to, like, go eat dinner or go do other things. So we just chilled in the lobby area and played games with the other people who were there. And for him, because I was the one that suggested playing the games and I had a deck of playing cards or I had Heads Up on my phone, he was like, oh, she likes games. I like that. I like her. And so, like, that is a personal connection point for me. My parents and I, because it is just the three of us, there are not so many three-player games that exist, or at least that you can really get competitive with. But they have still been ways for us to, when we had people over, build morale. And part of that goes back to all of the leadership training that my parents and I have had. So it's been a lifelong thing. I can't really pinpoint one moment. Although most recently it would probably be when I met my boyfriend.
I love your boyfriend.
And you didn't even meet him. You just saw pictures of him.
We talked about him all the time. It's like half of us were single, but we're happy for anybody in a relationship. It's like, you're in a relationship for the rest of us, girl. Like, We are excited for you. I kind of miss you so much. So when you look back to the SUSE experience, apart from the highlights with the game, there's this one thing you always did. When I met you, you were the girl that always asked the questions. And I'm like, Bella, we want to go sleep. Why are you asking them questions? And you'd always say, because everybody else might feel shy to ask questions, I'm just going to do it for everybody else. And that made me comfortable to ask questions more often or speak my mind, because I knew Bella was going to say something. Where'd you get that from?
Part of that might be a cultural thing. Throughout school, I was always encouraged to ask if we didn't understand something. The phrase, if you have a question, somebody else in the room has that same question, was popular. So they encouraged the curiosity of asking questions. For myself personally, understanding the why behind things is really important, not only in what motivates you to do something or what is going to drive you through hardship, but also the strategy behind it. Is there a reason that we are prioritizing this change over this one? Is there a reason why we're not changing? And so being able to find out that information and assemble all of the pieces that I need for things to make sense most often happens through questions. Questions here in the United States especially show that you are engaged in what you are doing and that you care about it a lot. And so that is especially when I offer up, if you ever have a question that you're too embarrassed to ask, tell me and I will ask it, because that is a way that I want to help people feel safe in the environment that they are in, get the understanding and the knowledge that they are there to acquire, but also come out of it feeling more confident because they know the material, they know what they've just learned, or at least are still processing it, but can process it fully because there's not those missing pieces.
So one of my favorite things about you was, I'm more ambiguous, right? I go with the flow half of the time, depending. I didn't do well with structure. And some of the highlights was when we were in DC, you were thriving because there was structure. You knew what time you were going to be in bed, what time we needed to be up and do all these team activities. And there was me that I really did struggle with the structure part of everything in DC. Then when we moved to Kansas, the University of Kansas, I realized the first 3-4 days, they didn't give us any structure. They were like, go, fly, do whatever you want to do. And you really struggled with that. Could you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah, for sure. So here in the States, time means a lot to us. It is how we live our lives. You lose time. It is a short and limited commodity that we use how we see fit. So when it comes to structure to me is a way to make the best use of the time that is provided to you. So we know that we need 7 to 9 hours of sleep a night. Okay, great. You can schedule in, hopefully, that much time. So then that gives you the rest of the day to do with what you please. One thing that is unique in the Summer SUSE program situation is throughout the interview process, my university is about 30 minutes away from University of Kansas. So that is where a lot of my friends are. That is where my boyfriend is. That is where my mentors are. That is where my space away from my parents is, which has really become my home over the last 3.5 years. And so then the difference between like your experience or some of the other international girls' experience with SUSE and not having that structure is, like, the University of Kansas was new and it was something you could explore and was still interesting. Whereas for myself and some of the other Kansas girls, what the international girls saw as freedom, we saw as constraint. Of the 4 girls who were present, myself included, from Kansas, we all had our own vehicles. We were told that we could not use those vehicles for the entirety of the summer. So even though it felt unstructured and free for many other girls, For myself, I felt locked in. Like I was stuck in this box with not much to do other than talk to people who I don't know, which is scary and draining for me, quite frankly. And I could not go to my safe place that was 30 minutes away. So it was really close, because I was stuck there. And that to me was, I think, what I struggled with the most. Was because with the structure of having the activities, going and eating food together, all of those things were times that I could prepare for. Whereas when we didn't have that structure, I didn't have a safe place at that time. That was difficult because what I considered free and unstructured is time that I can do whatever I want, whenever I want, which was not actually what it felt like to me because otherwise, I would have that freedom to roam around Lawrence, go back and see my friends, and all of those things. But then there wasn't enough separation like there would have been in DC for me to consider it true free exploration time. Does all of that make sense?
It does. Okay. I want to mention that we were so pissed that we couldn't drive in your cars. We couldn't do rides at night in your cars.
Yep.
I was so emotionally attached. I'm like, I want to go in Elizabeth's car, but we're not allowed.
But I'm driving with the windows down in the middle of summer is such a fun experience. And I'm really sad that we were not able to give you guys that because the sunsets here in Kansas especially are really pretty. And so being able to go out and see those in a way that wasn't just at the shore of a lake would have been really fun.
I like when you said at the shore of the lake. But I also remember we had our night drive to go to some place and get some food and go back. I don't know what we're doing that day. Maybe it was the 4th of July when we had like the late night drive, the songs. Thanks for always letting me play Taylor Swift songs. I might put this as a theme song for this podcast. I'm thinking about it. I'm really attached. But I also like to mention that with time, you did handle it pretty well because the unstructured time, you made us play games. You're like, yes. who wants to play this game? So you really did find the silver lining in between saying, I'm stuck with these girls for 3 weeks or 4 weeks. I might as well do something.
Exactly. And the other fun piece of background information that I don't know if you all were aware of, like while we were there, I am not friends with girls. I have just never really been able to get along with girls.
I
learned
that.
literally, no, all of my friends are boys, all of them. I have like some girls that are acquaintances, like Layla and I were roommates, and so like I consider her a friend. But like my close group of friends are literally five guys. And so to then be in a place that is all women all the time, that was such a drastic change because we handle and process things a lot differently than guys do. So that is another piece of this puzzle that yes, throughout the time I was able to structure in some pieces for me that helped like playing games with people because then I got to see how your brains thought about things and how your brains process things rather than me trying to process all of the rest of it all.
I have to admit, the whole process of, I do have like a close circle of friends who are women, but older than me. So we were all Gen Zs there. My friends are millennials. Right? So they think differently. And it's so cute because I'm the youngest and I'm the Gen Z. So like you, I always liked being in a corner. I don't know if you noticed. I was like, I have nothing to say to who I'm spoken to. And because I also don't like being the smart one in the room, like, I would rather look dumb than say something and think it's stupid. So I have to admit, we can put this out here. We were 24 girls. And it was nice to have 24 girls who were really nice people. We all had our flaws. We all had our moments. But one thing I'd like to recommend the program is it puts people who are really nice. That's debatable when we're having a group discussion within ourselves anyway, about definition of nice, but how is that experience when you experience to say, ah, they're not that bad.
And that's the thing, is you guys really weren't, like you said, everyone was incredibly sweet, incredibly nice. Being in a whole new culture is incredibly taxing. Like, you all impressed me so much with how much you were able to handle. But on the flip side, like, it was also really stressful because you're here with this group of girls. And one thing that on the Kansas girl side was, we felt responsible for you guys. They told us in the beginning, they're like, you're not responsible for them. Yes, they will ask you a lot of questions, but you're not responsible. That doesn't change the fact that we love you guys and we really care about you guys and about your well-being. And so we really felt responsible for you all. And so even though everyone was incredibly nice, and yes, people have their moments. I mean, we're away from home for a month and a half, and from, I mean, everyone else in a completely different country, many of which no one had been to before. So yes, I agree. I commend that the program picks wonderful ladies to grow and build these connections with, ladies who go on to do amazing things, ladies who are passionate, knowledgeable, all of those things. And so going throughout the, like, get to know you process, and figuring out who likes to talk a lot, who likes to sit on the side, and all of that was a fun puzzle to figure out. But because you are also in the puzzle yourself, it kind of felt like a reality TV show at times.
It was a reality TV show half of the time. I liked when we figured out what our personality types were. So when people were having their moments, too loud, too quiet, would say, you're extroverted, you're detailed oriented. Like, people would start calling each other out, and it was comfortable. You know what I mean? Like, it created such a comfortable space. Like, the last week of the program was my favorite. Everybody was calling out everybody. Everybody was cursing. I was so scared when I saw Anu. Not Anu. Should have been. Well, she's going to kill me that I forgot her name. Cursing. And I'm like, is everything okay? So one of the flip side about the last week was, you left without saying bye. What made you? Okay, we did say bye, but I didn't see you again. I know I was going to cry if I said bye to you. But I think you were done with the tears that day. And you just left.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. I am not great at goodbyes. I never have been. It is typically better for me to say see you later than to say goodbye. And so
I always say see you soon.
Do what?
I always say to people, see you soon.
Yes, or see you soon. That is just because then it doesn't feel so final. Finality rejects the possibility of change. And that is something that, as I have gotten older, I have found that change is inevitable and change always happens. So having the language there, so like you mentioned with the personality types, of being able to put a name to a thing and have it not be filled with other people's ideas of what this means, but instead having a communal definition of it, like, that is really helpful. But for me, the finality of goodbye, of what it means to me, was just something that I was like, no, this isn't the end. Like, we're still around, we're still living, we're still engaging with tons of people, and we're taking the experiences and the memories that we built with one another on with us. So it's not that this is the end, this is goodbye, but instead a see you soon, see you later. I don't remember if you remember Dr. Mary, maybe, who was like, you come into this as peas and carrots and celery, and then you leave smelling like vegetable soup. And so it's that part of it, of we've impacted each other, we've grown with one another in so many ways, that it's not goodbye because I still have you all with me all the time.
And I'll probably see you soon in the United States, which is so cool.
Yeah, exactly. And if nothing else, it's an excuse to come back.
I know, so, just to see you guys. That's my excuse. I have no valid reason. What's your favorite metaphor? We had so many metaphors in those classes. What's your favorite metaphor that you used to live by or to think about when you're in certain situations?
So, admittedly, I am in a unique condition where adaptive leadership, the main curriculum, is something that I've grown up with. So, it was not my first time hearing it. It was not my first time working through it. And so, a lot of the metaphors used were things that I've heard quite a bit before. So, like the vegetable soup analogy, I don't know how many times my mother has said that to me. Because it's true, like you always are growing and being influenced by other people. It's just a matter of if you consciously remember it or not. So, flipping it back on you, what was your favorite metaphor that we used?
I have two. So, the balcony metaphor. I always have to get up on the balcony all the time. I have so many challenges. I'm building a business. It's not fun. It's tiring. I want to scream half of the time, but I have to smile, which is crazy. And I'm doing so many uncomfortable things like this. So me getting on the balcony, just coming out of the dance floor and just looking at things differently. Yeah, that helps me a lot. The second one is a smart experiment. This podcast is a smart experiment. Like, you don't, there's something Dr. Peter said in DC. Everything is a lesson. There's no success or failure. Everything is a lesson. So the smart experiment comes in place because if it doesn't work out, I can still do something else. It's a lesson. Like, it's not finite. Like, it's not final. Like, I can always come up with something. It's just shown me that it's not worked this way. I should do it in a different way. So that was a smart one, Bella, by the
Hey, and I love your two examples. And I, for the record, think that your smart experiment of this podcast is going great. So,
Thank you, Bella.
congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you for coming and jumping on board. I stalked you on Insta on Facebook and I came across a quote. You said, "I woke up this morning and realized I don't want, I don't have to." Wait, let me read this again. "I woke up this morning and I realized I don't have what it takes to sit back and be average." So you said, "I woke up this morning and realize I don't have what it takes to sit back and be average." What do you mean by that? Like, why don't you want to be average? And what does
So,
average mean to you?
interesting that you bring this up. So that is a quote from one of, I would say, probably my first mentors, at a summer camp that was based around leadership, that I went to, and that was how she started our morning, the morning welcome, morning announcements every single day. As she would say, "I'm so glad that you all woke up this morning and chose not to be average." All too many times, it is easy to take the easy pathway. And it is convincing, it is alluring, and it is all of the things that we so want it not to be, but it's just easier. And so instead of taking the easy route, challenging yourself to not do the bare minimum, challenging yourself to go beyond and build those connections, challenging yourself to not be average. Average is not a bad thing. Average is passing. Average is still successful in everyone's own definition of success. However, there's always a chance to be more, to do more, influence more, create more, and all of the beauty of the world that we miss out on if we choose to be average. So, that is one of my favorite quotes. It is honestly one that comes to me at very poignant times in my life, because that camp that I went to was back in middle school. So it's been almost 10 years, not quite 10 years. And then it comes back, at times when I need it. So that is why that quote, it's a good reminder of the nostalgic good times, fun feelings, adventures, friends, that even though I may not be connected to anymore, once again have still influenced me in all of those amazing ways. And there are people who have challenged me to go on to be the best version of myself that I can.
Wow. I just realized you've been in different leadership journeys all your life. Like, do you realize that? I'm starting to realize, oh, this wasn't Bella's, the SUSE program wasn't your first leadership journey. You've been going through this for years. You've been building what you've been doing for years. And I just want to know what inspires you to keep moving forward.
There is always more to learn. There is more people to meet, more experiences to understand or to listen to. There is always so much more context and influence that exists in the world that we don't always think about. Leadership is something that is fascinating to me because there are so many different approaches, and yet most of the time, the goal is the same, and that is to make progress on something, unite people together on something that will be better for everyone else. And I am someone who cares a lot about other people. I care a lot about making the world a better place. And it pains me that there is so much hurt in the world. And leadership is a relational ability. It is a skill set. It is a practice that everyone can partake in, regardless of their status in the world. And so leadership throughout all of the years, because whenever you are in elementary school, they talk about it a lot differently than they do when you're in university. And so changing the language throughout, developing a more sophisticated vocabulary, noticing the changes that are made across people's lives is something that is so beautiful to me. I'm getting to understand the changes that happen, why they happen, why people are motivated to do certain things, and how to influence that to make it a better place for everyone.
I'm starting to understand why you were called the why person. Why you did not sleep well for the last 4 days, because you were helping everybody get their LCP projects ready. So those were Leadership for Change projects ready. And we all had our presentations. And you sat down with all of us and said, that doesn't make sense, Liba. Could you please do it again? Could you please do that again? And listening to you speak makes me look back and say, Bella was our why person. So what made you want to help everybody figure out their why for their LCP projects? And why do you want to help others figure out their why? Because you are a why person.
Simply, I love helping other people be successful and whatever that means for them. And so for the LCP project instance, there was a clear challenge from Dr. Mary that was, what is your why? She would sit there and ask you why and why and why and why. Even if it was something that didn't necessarily require a why to exist, but why? Or why wouldn't it require something to exist? And being able to flip the question to get to the heart of what really motivates you, what is really important to you, and all of those pieces that are so crucial to enduring through hardships and leading to eventually success. So for myself being that person, I love seeing people's light bulbs go off, hypothetically, like not literally speaking, but that moment of understanding where they're like, oh, this is what this means. This is how this connects. This is where this goes and fits into the larger puzzle. I love that moment. I love that moment every single time because it looks so different for everyone as to what it is. For some, it might be a piece about how they realize how important their family is to them and that ability to connect and care for other humans. Or even their animals that are involved in their households. For some, it might be a traumatic history that they don't want others to relive because it has caused them a lot of pain and hurt, and they want something better for others. And it varies so differently. And that was what I also loved, getting to hear everyone's LCP project and push them to that next level. Kind of going back to the, I woke up today and realized I couldn't sit back and be average. even though people assembled a great presentation, their research was really solid. If you don't have that special piece of the why, things don't sparkle. They don't connect with people in the same way. Versus if you have that why, people get attached to that. That is uniting people to a common vision, which is such a crucial part of leadership across the board. So being able to play a small piece or a small part in the whole puzzle, being that piece that is the final click for it to all come together, I just love being a part of it and being able to support others in that way.
I'd also like to mention that when we were doing our LCP projects, because everybody did help someone in some way, because we all had no choice but to present at the allocated time and day, I would always look at you and you were so proud of everybody. You were like mama bear. It's like, oh, that's my baby up there. Like we were
absolutely up. That was what it felt like. It really did.
We were up all night getting that thing figured out. Something just happened to me. If you're now Madam Vice President, which is cool, if you could only achieve one thing in your tenure, what would that be? Like, you'd be
okay. As Vice President?
Yes, as Vice President. You'd be okay if the one thing you say, if I can just achieve this, then I'm good. Anything else is just it. But this is like my one thing I'd like to accomplish.
If I can empower another student to make a change on campus that promotes more belonging, that is a place where people can be challenged in a safe environment but still get a lot of growth out of it, if I can empower one student to go make a lasting change on campus that is important to them, then I will have been successful.
Wow. So we are coming to the end. Sad. I still feel like I'm going to drag you back here soon, but with the girls. And that's going to be more fun because you're one of my Susie sisters and this is a passport series. I'd like to give you an opportunity to ask me one question before I ask you my final question.
So I love the language that you just used. So what is the meaning of sisterhood to you?
Thanks.
Was that good enough? Was that challenging enough for you?
Yeah, it's really cracking me up. I was really thinking, is it a good idea to give Bella this power?
Hey, you went with it.
So if you look back, I was like one of the most emotional person because I get attached easily. And the fact that I understood at the end that I'm not going to experience this moment again, even if I get a bunch of you guys together in one room, which is going to be pretty soon. Could be when you're vice president, like of America. I realized I would never experience that. And to just I've been around really nice people, right? But I've never been around a circle of people that support you through the good and bad and all the highs and lows I went through. And how everybody was very attentive. It's the little things that didn't seem like mattered. Even now, most of my friends are more worried about me when I am quiet than when I'm loud. Because when I'm loud, it shows I'm still optimistic about something. I'm still enthusiastic. Sisterhood is when somebody understands my silence more. And I experienced that in the United States with you guys. When somebody just, the small gestures, the courtesy, the showing up, the staying out late with everybody. What I'm experiencing sisterhood when we have our monthly debrief or when I'm catching up with any of my friends because I don't just feel like showing up for others, but then they show up for me. So it's the acts of service that people do for me because that's my love language. Like when somebody practices acts of service, because that's how I want to be loved, showing up for me in different forms. Yeah, so It's in, I've been experiencing sisterhood more for the last 8 months, especially after my stay in the United States, because these are people from different cultures, and the type of understanding we had was just amazing. Like, I can just text you, and you'd be so excited to help me out. So, yeah, so it just varies. But that's like a brief definition of what sisterhood means to me. I hope it answers your question.
Absolutely.
Whoa. So we now have a closing tradition here is I'm going to ask you one question, and that is, what do you look forward to? It could be, yeah, what do you look forward to?
I look forward to continuing to be a sister to you all. I look forward to the chance to see you all grow and continue living your lives to the fullest. And I look forward to the next time that I will be able to talk with you all again.
Wow. I'm glad I now understand why you're going to be the first guest to this podcast. Because what I realized from this and my lesson from our conversation is understanding you at a different level. I've seen you grow as a person, even if it makes you uncomfortable, especially with us. If we have a request and say, Bella, we need a life update. And if that means you privately posting stuff on Instagram just to show us you're alive, please do it because we need a life update from you, girl. And the fact that you used games to connect us, majority of us, our highlight is the games we played, the night we danced, the time Elizabeth almost killed me because I sucked at a game. And the fact that I hope you know you always go an extra mile for people. And I don't think you realize that. But I was like, at first I didn't understand it. Now I get it after this conversation. But I look back and say, Bella got me. It's an unwritten rule among us, all of us, to just know, ask Bella. Or Bella will probably say something about it. So really, Bella, thank you so much for being a sister to me and to the other girls. I'm pretty proud of you. I'm really, really proud of you for your recent accomplishments and for everything else you don't share and everything else you do in the background. And really, thank you for being my Mrs. Woods, because I know that's our that's our thing. But yeah, thank you for being my Mrs. Woods. Yeah, I'm getting emotional, but yes, thank you for all you do. I really do love you.
I love you too, Akka, and it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on today. And as the first guest, that is quite the honor. So thank you so much for thinking of me. And thank you for being an amazing sister, especially since I don't have any related by blood. It's amazing to have you as one of mine.
I know, right? So, thank you so much for everybody for listening. This was a conversation with one of my favorite human beings in the world. You can follow Bella Woods and her journey on all her social media platforms. We're going to share it on the link below. This is a Diary 101 podcast, the Passport series. And yeah, bye.